With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys.
We are fresh from the hand of God. AKA fresh from watching the first 2 minutes of Real Housewives Salt Lake City, our salty Utah Queens
delivered the fucking package.
As always.
Honestly, I feel bad that I ever doubted them, but I have to say.
I've got to be quite honest with you.
That we did know from the first episode that this was one to watch.
This will probably usurp the first episode of the very first episode of Salt Lake as like the greatest.
One of the greatest in
openers.
History. Frauds only from here on out.
Frauds only.
Frauds only on Housewives.
Frauds only and worrying about being indicted from here on out.
Mm-hmm. FBI.
Helicopters.
FBI vibes from here on out.
Goodfellas escaping the helicopter in the car.
Fleeing the parking lot of Beauty Lab.
So
to go get arrested off camera.
So in case you didn't see it, it shows the first like few minutes of the new season or just a preview of what's to come.
Yeah, like a little super clip.
Yeah. And it's all the women piling into a giant bus to go get like, I think they're going on a trip or they're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And we meet the new housewife, Jenny.
We get just a brief glimpse of her piling into the van. Yeah, I'm ready for her energy.
Love her entrance.
Love Lisa Barlow.
Fur,
sunglasses, straight hair.
Vodka.
I love her just going, she's so cute.
Yeah, so Lisa's there. Meredith is not there and Mary is not there. They're meeting them there. Which... you know, it's all very like, what's going on? And then Jen comes in with her braids and her look, her fur, like her total like militant. She's going in.
I love her waking up that day, preparing glam.
She knew.
For what she thinks will be her living her best life in the Beauty Lab parking lot and like filming a scene in a van. Only to be confronted with the fact that the cops are imminent and her arrest, the clock is ticking on her time as a free woman.
The end is nigh.
And she has a choice to either get the fuck out now and get arrested off camera or like wait in the van and get swarmed. She navigated that with ease, I would say.
I think she knew it was coming.
That day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She
looked pretty good.
Well, they always are doing.
I know, but she looked like there was some like an extra like I feel like she had a tip that it was coming.
So she was like braid me,
and she was like, just glam me the fuck up, Shaw Squad, and like
it's like Shaw Squad, our days are numbered.
Let's just do it up. So she went all out, and then maybe she didn't know exactly when, but she was like, I'm going to get the phone call.
She was like, first I'm in a film and later I'm getting arrested. So, yeah. And she didn't think that they would coincide.
She's perhaps. That delusional.
I love just a girl boss planning girl boss. Out her day. That's extreme girl boss energy.
But she, yeah, I think she was like, oh, they'll wait till I'm done at this like spa treatment or the fuck. Or maybe they're going on their trip.
I have to get lasered at Beauty Lab.
I think they're going on a trip because then you see them all eating together at like a very spacious house.
Okay.
So I think they're going on like a little overnight.
Wow.
So then we get to have the fallout of them all like being wherever they are talking about it with each other forced to talk about it at the table. So then Jen comes on the bus, and then she gets a phone call, and it sounds like it's like from her son, or maybe...
I think her husband, maybe.
What was his name again? Sharif?
Coach Shaw.
Coach Shaw.
Sharif.
Sharif Shaw. So, or it could be one of her sons, and she goes, "Hi, baby. I'm just waiting to go, you know, whatever. We're in the parking lot." And then all of a sudden, you see her go, "Okay." Her poise, though, is supernatural.
She's good. That's how I am in, like, a really intense situation like that. I'm truly, like, methodical, calm as a serene lake.
Not me.
No, not you. And then I'm like, she goes to Whitney and she's like, "Please take this off." Like, she has Whitney, like, turn her mic off.
And then Whitney goes, "Wait, what?"
She's like, "What?" That's, like, also not who you want to be, like, operating your machinery in that situation. Like, that kind of thing that's what I would snap at, is someone being like, "What, Whitney?
Yeah. Shut up!"
I'd be like, "Did your mic off?"
So, but she has, but you do see her lose her cool a little as soon as the mic is taken off. Her eyes are wide, and she kind of just... And then a pickup truck, I think it's Sharif.
Someone comes and gets her in a pickup truck and they speed off.
And then everyone's like, "Wait, what is happening?" And she, in the parking lot before she goes, she tells Heather, like, "I've got some bad news." And then she goes back on the bus and she goes, "I have to go. I'm leaving. I have to go." And then Lisa goes, wait, "You have to go?" Like, she just said that, please.
Why is Lisa Barlow is my obsession?
She's amazing.
She is everything. She does is gold.
Also, when Jen entered the bus, Lisa turns to Jenny and goes, "She's so cute.
She's so cute."
And then they leave, and then all of a sudden...
What? You're going?
You have to go? You have to go? After she goes, "I have to go." Yes.
Like, I can handle Lisa asking a question, but I cannot handle Whitney.
No. And then she speeds off, and then they're all like, "Wait, what the fuck?" And then all of a sudden they hear sirens and a police copter swarming the parking lot, and like
the cop in a full blown, like, bulletproof vest is like, "We're looking for Jen Shaw."
And they're all like, "What?" And then the bus, then they, you know, we cut to them taking off, and we see that Jen was arrested. So it's the day she was arrested. She was charged with fraud and wire fraud and doing her telemarketing scheme. Whitney, of course, recounts it on her phone and she goes, fraud.
"Jen Shaw arrested for fraud.
And then
fraud."
And then Lisa goes, "Well, how did they know she was going to be here? Someone must have tipped her off." Mm. And then I was like, my immediate thought was Meredith.
Who's the rat?
Who's the rat? But then I was thinking maybe not her, because that could be too obvious. So who could it be?
They ask Mary, who seems to be really unbothered by all this. I love they cut to, like, all the women in the villa at dinner. And Lisa's like, "Her life is not what we thought it was." And then you see Mary in the background just swilling a glass of champagne without a worry in the world.
Well, she's got her own.
But she is truly cool as a cucumber. She puts on a little checkered hat, and then
Mary's maybe got her own worries about stuff coming out.
But she is like, I wouldn't be able to tell.
No.
The producer's like, "Who do you think tipped off the police?" And she goes,
"God."
I love Mary. I wish her
the archangel
all the best.
Me too.
That video she posted where she, I like that she posts like four post.
Yeah.
Grid post, but it's just two of the same video and two of the same picture.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a power move. And it's her walking down some stairs, and then she goes.
Also, their taglines came out.
What are they?
Mary's is, I think.
Let's look.
Something about, like, "I will compel the power of Jesus against you." Like, she basically is like, "I will hex you with Jesus." She's all...
Don't fuck with her. Do not fuck with her. I'm not saying anything anymore.
No, me neither.
Once
Mary,
you invoke the power of Jesus,
And her Jesus, whatever that Jesus is, I don't want.
Okay. She's only guilty of being shamazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. Guys, this is...
This is...
We've got it. We've got our girls, and... what New York deprived us of this season, we're going to get it back with Salt Lake City.
Yeah. New York who?
Truly.
The only thing I'm guilty of is being shamazing.
Lisa's is like, I love my life and I love what I do. And it's like really like casual and kind of bland.
Whitney's is, in a town of beauties and beasts, there's only one wild rose. Queen shit.
But Lisa's is like, I wish you could hear her tone. It's like,
you don't have to like me. I love myself enough for the both of us.
Yeah. You don't have to like me. I love myself for the both of us. It's like
a casual phoning it in.
Yeah. She like recorded it on like a text.
She sent it via voice note and emailed it.
Meredith says something about ice.
Jenny's is, I have plenty of everything, including opinions. Thank God. Meredith, I may be known for my ice, but I always bring the heat. Chic. Do you, though?
She will.
She's boiling. Mary says, if you come for me, I will send Jesus
after you. She will, and we're talking Old Testament. We're talking like Jesus.
She's like the power of revelation.
No, but she'll like in the Exodus story with like the angel of death that kills the firstborn.
She will part the Red Sea.
She will smite firstborns.
I'm not fucking with Mary.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I think she's like connected to some sort of higher power.
I think she might be.
Wow.
Wow. Guys, we're ready. We're going to be recapping it, by the way. Salty Utah Queens is happening. Coming back next week. And it'll be part of some of our
live shows, a live event. Ever heard of it? At the Roxy. The Roxy Theater.
The Roxy.
I love it. Heather Gay said she was terrified during Jen Shaw's arrest.
Okay.
I love Heather. I'm like not as annoyed by her. I'm like laughing. I'm laughing with them all. I can't wait. Fraud's only from here on out. You have like. If I mean, there's Heather, not a fraud in the building, I don't want to watch it.
Exactly.
I only care about
frauds.
Frauds, scammers. Illegal activities, scammers, fraudulent behavior.
Wire fraud,
racketeering.
Intimidation.
Trafficking. Money laundering.
I mean, Heather should be terrified. Jen struck her once.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that Jen is also like physically abusive.
She's an abusive friend.
Also, which like, isn't there funny. Were videos I'm not laughing her, at it.
It's like
there were videos of her like throwing phones at assistants.
Well, now we know why.
Well, she's stressed. She's a lot to be stressed about.
And poor Sharif comes in after in the video and he's like, "Guys, I'm so sorry about this to all her staff that she threw stuff at."
Oh yeah, in that video.
Sad.
Do you think Sharif knew anything about her business? You kind of have to, right?
Well, it's the same thing about Erica. So you're going to have to, like, we're going to have to kind of treat.
What if they made Sharif a full-time cast member? Like, I wish that they would.
I guess it depends on, like, his.
Get over
I mean, Erica, I think why hers is so damning is because she has, like, she was given money in her LLC. So unless Sharif got some kind of. But maybe he did? I don't know. I love Sharif. I feel bad for him, but I'm also, like.
You're implicated. That's what happens when you marry a scammer.
Yeah. So, like, Stuart, I mean, don't get me started.
Stu.
And that ghoul.
Did he get arrested, too? Ghoul. He got arrested as well.
Stuart and Jen together. A girl and her gay.
They were up to no good.
Never come between a lady and her gay and their scams.
When you have a 40-something-year-old gay assistant... You guys are scamming. I don't care what business, line of business you're in.
It ain't right.
You're up to no good. Something ain't right.
Anyway, guys.
So wow. Can't wait.
Look out for Salty Utah Queens.
Coming soon.
Season 2 coming very soon. And yeah, we're going to be recapping that live at the Roxy.
Live at the Roxy. Episode 2, I think, will come out right before our Roxy show.
I hope everyone in LA still needs to get to some, we're running out of tickets very fast, so get on them.
I know, you better get your tickets soon because
selling out.
Things are sound like hotcakes around these parts.
So
you know what to
do. Get into it.
Guys.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy.
Unique.
Podcast.
The Matriarchs of Mozadale.
Speaking of friends that strike each other, back to our Staten Island Stallions.
It's another day of the hustle and bustle of New York.
New
York to Staten Island pipeline
is strong.
Is so strong in the beginning of this episode. It's nothing but
traffic. Karen's book has hit the presses. Her book,
The Announcement heard round the world.
Yeah, The Announcement heard round the world. And page 6, I believe, or New York Post, they post, Sammy the Bull's daughter, tell all.
Yeah.
And she's very offended by it because she's, you know, she's tired of people just being like, oh, it's just going to be a mafia tell all. It's not the story of a woman, you know.
Well, I think they were trying to cancel her. This is like pre-cancellation. They were like, why are you making money off of like your
dead
father's
people.
Crimes? Your yes. mother murdered 19 people that we know of.
Well, she doesn't disclose that at first. She just makes it seem like the New York Post is like, you know, she's being slammed in the New York Post, you know.
Yeah, trying and to then, like paint her into a corner.
And then later she's like, oh, well, the family. I'm like, well, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, well, everyone fucking hates you is the thing, Karen.
Sorry.
Renee
and Carla meet.
Yeah. They go to dinner.
They go
Renee
to dinner.
Renee lives her life from one lunch to the next dinner to the next lunch.
Oh, she's
she goes three places. Lunch, dinner, and her kitchen island.
She loves a tablecloth so deeply. Like one of those like kind of what are they called? Like those like
the checkered ones?
No.
A linen tablecloth?
Yeah, but they're like cheap. It's like cheap linen tablecloth.
Like a white tablecloth.
Yeah. Or like red. Or like maroon tablecloth. They're kind of drinking, mellowing out from still recovering from their literal brawl.
Renee goes, let's drink to friendship. With about that level of energy.
Let's drink to friendship, she says.
And then she tells Carla that Junior is back in her life. She's been spending a lot of time with him.
Her brief foray into online dating, we realize perhaps why it ended so quickly. It's because
that Renee wanted to kill herself after looking at all the men that were available to her, but because she's getting dicked down by Junior Pagan.
Yeah. her and Junior Pagan are fooking again. And Carla's like immediately...
No.
She raises an eyebrow and she says, you know, have some self-respect, girl.
She's again with Junior. Renee has always hung up on Junior. She's sick of this shit.
Yeah, she's like, stop. Like, it's never going to end the way you want it to, basically.
Yeah, no, this is like a bad idea. Everyone's like, every single person in Renee's life, there's not one person that is supportive of this. I truly believe that.
And Carla's known her since they were teens. Known each other since we're teens.
Since we're teens.
So she's, you know, she's seen her through all of this and she knows the pattern.
Yeah.
Renee's going to go back to Junior. And then at one point, Carla
goes...
It's
probably the 30th time that this has happened.
Yeah.
Carla goes, everyone has that friend that's doing this shit.
Always.
And you're like, please, for the love of fucking God, break up. Like, I actually can't hear about this anymore.
Yeah. Or if you don't break up, please remove me from your...
Yeah. Loop me the fuck out.
Loop me the fuck out. Carla goes, my heart goes out to you. She says that to Renee. And Renee goes, thank you.
Renee goes, he's my son's father. I'm all he has. He doesn't have a mother or a father. And I'm like, Renee, whatever excuse you need to tell yourself to, like, you know that you're fucking up.
Carla's like, well, he's not your problem. He's your ex-husband. Like, she keeps saying that. He's not your problem. Take it from someone who is dealing with something similar. And Renee just doesn't listen. Renee's also blackout by the end of the meal.
They're chugging like espresso martinis from those wiggly martini glasses.
Renee at the end, she says, it's good to be out.
Those martini glasses were sending me.
Oh, yeah.
They were so thick.
They were like chalices.
They were like,
Karen sitting on her giant sill, her windowsill, having a Lost in Translation moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls David, her ex-boyfriend slash
baby father, daddy.
Baby daddy, to talk, to check on the daughter because she's back in Arizona.
Okay, did you clock this like Boogie Nights-esque music that was happening in the background throughout this episode?
No.
In like dramatic parts, it literally sounded like the part in Boogie Nights where everyone has like a horrible night.
What song was that?
It's like just like kind of a...
Isn't there a certain song that plays when like the guy...
It's like when Roller Girl is trying to like seduce a guy off the street in the back of the limo. And Mark Wahlberg tries to like turn
someone.
A trick, but then he gets gay bashed. And it was... It's like music like doom, doom, doom. It was very like Paul Thomas Anderson soundtrack music for this episode. And I just want to shout out the music supervisor.
Yeah.
Whoever was doing that, I was like, hats off to you.
Yeah, hats off to them. I guess I maybe subconsciously noticed it.
Maybe you were watching a different episode Maybe you were watching one of the bad musical episodes.
Yeah. No, I'm watching the real one because I got
The
big. Bang,
the big, big bang. The reason I'm alive.
So Karen's kind of like flirting with her baby daddy, and he's like, she's driving me crazy. She's driving me crazy. And she's like, explains that it's good that they're spending time together because she never really saw him growing up because he was always in and out of jail.
Yeah, so David is adjusting to life as a free man.
It's hard for him.
It's really hard. It sounds like he's been in jail a lot.
He goes, people at work saying some slick stuff to me.
He was like, I can either flip out or just keep my cool.
So it sounds like he's almost longing for...
a beat down.
Prison.
I mean, I feel like once you've spent enough time incarcerated, you kind of prefer it. You know how to exist better in prison than out of prison.
Yeah, which is like...
sad.
Yeah, it's a reality.
Karen says she liked David because he was in the streets.
Yeah,
she thought that she deserved a man that was in the streets.
Yeah. She goes, that was it. That was my thing. I was in the streets too.
I love her life for her.
Right.
I love that it's like she's no longer in the streets.
I just wrote like, she goes, I can't be that prison girl anymore.
Fair enough.
Fair.
Know your worth, queen.
Yeah. I was like, all right, Karen. All right, Karen.
All right, Karen. I'm like, I wish that you had made more iconic art about your pain, but.
I also wish that you decorated the apartment a little better.
I wish that you decorated it at all instead of that blood red couch.
There's just like really kind of melancholy shots of Manhattan across the river, like blinking.
Which is like your apartment is all white and then a little bit of black and that couch.
Yeah.
It's a haunted space.
It's satanic.
Like put a poster up or something.
Please put a lamp in that house.
Ugh, just get three cheap lamps and turn them on.
Change it all.
Yeah.
She's using like overhead lighting and the darkness of the Hudson, the East River.
It's really not a good combo.
No.
Carla and her friend Eddie go shopping for Joe.
Make Eddie a mob wife immediately.
She is everything to me.
Eddie kind of almost has like Dina Manzo vibes, but
she's a little bit more gregarious.
She's wearing sunglasses inside this like very kind of shitty shoe shop, and I'm like, iconic.
No, Eddie is serving glamour and glitz and mob wife energy that we need. Also, we need a blonde in the mix.
Yeah. She's like, Joe's coming out in 2 weeks, so I got to do some shoe shopping for him. Because in there and where he's been in the last few years, he hasn't been wearing stylish shoes.
She's getting him undies and shoes and socks.
That's cute.
And then as she's shopping for shoes, she's like, well, I got to get myself a pair of sneakers. Because every time Joe went shopping, he'd always get me something too.
Eddie, she tries one on Eddie, goes, oh, I love them.
And then Joe calls. And he and Carla talk, and he makes another like comment about her getting the house and he only gets shoes. And I was like, enough with these comments.
Enough, Joe.
You're getting out, and I don't want to hear another word. Not another word about me in the house and you in the shoes. Stop.
The mother of your children who you've traumatized and like broken probably is rebuilding her life, and all while at the same time making sure you have shit when you come out.
Yeah.
Making sure you have underpants.
You're the criminal. You went to jail for 6 years.
Be grateful.
Be grateful that you have someone to buy you underwear. She tries. She's like, remember who, guess who this is? And then she's like describing Eddie to Joe. Do you think he knew? He pretended though.
She goes, guess who's with me? Who used to dress like, forget about it. And then Joe goes, and Eddie's like, I'm going to let you guess from my voice. And then Joe goes, oh, hey, girl.
And she's like, hi.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, Eddie, you always dress great.
And then they talk for a little bit. And Carla's like, well, I got to go. And then Eddie goes, bye, mama, to Joe.
I was like, that is strange.
That is everything.
Amazing.
I'm going to start calling every man mama.
Hey, mama.
Hey, mama.
Bye, yeah, mama. Do it.
That is a power move. Eddie's cracked the code.
Yeah, but I love her. I love, hey, girl.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Hey, you.
She goes, hi.
Hi.
All right, bye, mama.
Bye, mama.
Bye, mama, to Joe Ferragamo.
In prison.
In prigione.
Karen and Drita kind of have like a reconciliatory dinner.
Yeah.
And they just kind of like finally start talking about like sex and dating, and there's like a less of an elephant in the room. And Drita's complaining about like how she's like, she's pent up.
Yeah, they really relate to dealing with their men being in prison.
Karen goes, you gotta get yourself a good vibrator. I was like, all right.
Oh my God, Carrie.
What?
Did you hear what I'm doing this fall?
No.
I'm taking Sex Unique Podcast on tour.
Wait a minute. I'm doing that too.
I know.
We're going on tour.
We're going on fucking tour. Tickets are going fast. In fact, one of the Chicago shows sold the fuck out.
You're kidding me.
Well, we added a second.
Oh, thank God.
Head to LarsMarie.com to purchase tickets.
That's LarsMarie.com to get yours now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you. Underwear drawers are like the wild west of wardrobes. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. but now that I've felt the buttery, soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go because MeUndies are all I reach for. I received the feel-free lace high-waisted brief from MeUndies, and I have to say, I love to sleep in a high-waisted brief, and I also like to wear briefs under dresses. And let me tell you a thing or two about these briefs. They were super comfortable. I love the fabric, and I feel like they will be the perfect accompaniment to a pair of pajamas or an extra large t-shirt. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear. MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. Not happy with your first pair of undies? It's on MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/sexy. That's MeUndies.com/sexy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Drita says Lee told her to do what you gotta do when he went away. And I was like, yeah, right. That's a test.
Totally.
That's like literally he's waiting to get word of who you did so that he can have his men kill that person.
Do you think he's having like little like mutual JO sessions in prison?
With other dudes?
With other like mobsters?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I think like maybe I've heard of some men like fucking dudes in jail just to like get off.
Yeah.
But it's like not a gay thing.
No, it's not gay.
Just we're fucking.
We gotta do what we gotta do.
It's not gay. Let me assure you.
Yeah, we're making.
When I fucked Sammy in jail, Sammy that was bowl. Not gay. That was straight.
It's straight.
That was two straight men fucking. Having anal sex. That was not any gay shit.
Yeah, we gotta kill some time while the yo, sausage peppers are cooking.
I gotta get a nut off. You know what I mean? Yeah. My balls.
My balls. Gotta get that poison out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not gay.
Not gay at one bit.
Not gay one bit.
Not even 1% no. gay. When I stuck my dick.
Gay.
In his butt. No. It was not at all gay.
No, this ain't some ribbon pasta lasagna. This is straight up spaghetti.
This is bucatini.
Bucatini, baby.
This is al dente.
Al dente. It ain't gay.
Not al dente gay.
It ain't homo.
Al dente.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they sex. Could have straight butt sex sometimes. Or just like, I'm sure that they're jerking off in the showers. Yeah. I mean, when I was in boarding school, the guys would always like, they jerked off in the showers. But the sign was like, you would put a towel over the shower so that everyone else knew that like, stay it was away. Your private time, like stay away.
That's smart.
Yeah, that was code.
Code. I want a Renee and Nicole road trip buddy comedy.
Same. I want a Dr. Clapper. Is it Dr. Clapper?
Dr. Clapper.
Dr. Clapper.
I'm back at Dr. Clapper.
Kidnap him and take him on the road.
Renee's probably thought about kidnapping him.
I think he seems extremely uncomfortable in her presence.
Yeah, because he knows he can't really say no to her.
And he also can't give her what she seeks.
No, she's seeking like...
She's looking for like a full. She's looking for face off.
Yeah.
Like she wants when they scan the body and they're like, now his body just becomes this body. That's like Renee saw that movie and was like, I want that. Get rid of all my fat like that. That's what I want.
She wants to upload.
Yeah, she wants to just live in the cloud.
But she wants like a new human form.
She goes back to Dr. Clapper, her plastic surgeon's office with Nicole, another with queen that needs to be on as a full-time wife.
She goes to Renee, chief complaint, your ass.
May we all have a friend that's just like,
your
very
ass
straight
looks terrible.
Up at us. Yeah. Your chief concern, your ass.
Renee's like, I famously have a flat ass. I just wrote, it's really funny to me. I'm sorry.
What?
Just that her this flat ass journey. Listen, I get it.
I think a lot of white women have to deal.
They do.
Pancake ass.
And to be.
It takes a lot of squats.
It does.
And I can speak from experience to go.
I'm not knocking
it. It takes a lot of squats to get a little lift going.
No, I get it. Especially like as a gay man.
Oh, butt is life.
Butt is life. No matter what your
persuasion is. I didn't even think about that.
And I've had to really, it's hard. I had to really do step up on my step ups.
Yeah. It's a Stairmaster. It's a deadlift. It's walking. A lunge. It's a walking. It's squats. It's split squats. The journey never ends.
It never ends.
To try and get just a little bit of lift.
So I understand Renee. And it's funny to me how candid she is about it.
Renee,
I
got takes a flat ass. A 3D naked photo of
she
her body.
She loves it.
She loves it. And then until the tech pulls up the images and she goes, "No, that's disgusting." She goes, "That's disgusting. No wonder I haven't got a date." I was like, Renee, you're being a little hard on yourself.
Oh,
they're blurring it. And I'm like, you look fine.
She looks fine.
You look fine.
That's why it's funny to me. Cause I'm like, Renee, you look good, babe. Like, you're beautiful.
It's disgusting.
It's horrible.
She goes, oh. She's in the corner of the room.
I feel like Nicole's really keeps her tethered to this, to the ground.
Maybe, but also she might be the enabler. Yeah. Your chief concern? Your ass. Dr. Clapper comes in and sits down with Renee for a consultation, and she goes, "See my breasts? I want them gutted and to have implants put in." And I was like, I don't want to think about my breasts. Anyone's breasts getting gutted.
She is like, she's
disturbed.
What's happening in her brain at all?
Get a breast lift, scoop your breast fat.
Like a deer?
Tissue out like ice cream. Or like gut them.
Gutting a deer?
Yeah. They drain them and then pull them back up.
She's like, gut my tits.
I want my tits gutted. Totally. Gut them. Then implants. Put them in.
Put them and shove them up
she
there.
She goes, "See, my breast is down here. I want it up here." It's whoa. Renee, she wants her tit at her clavicle.
She keeps saying.
She wants literally.
She wants wench tit. You know what I'm talking about? Pirate wench tit.
yeah, like the
pushed up. So.
The German beer wench.
Beer Frau tit.
And it's just boobs up to your
She could just get a push up bra.
Yeah. She also is again says, "I don't want to exercise. I don't want to do." She wants to do. She will not exercise. If you held a gun to her head, which has probably happened before, she will not exercise. She will only get scooped.
She only got him. Gutted. Got me. Got me like a fish.
Got me like a fucking pig.
I bet she hired a trainer. And then when he told her to do stuff, she was like, no. And then I'll bet a trainer has held a gun to her head and she still wouldn't exercise.
I mean, that's a persuasive training method.
Yeah. Is do a fucking lift.
Yeah, I would do that.
Do a bench press.
Yeah.
Right. Hey. 12 reps this time. Go a little bit heavier.
Second, final rep. Come on. All right, good. We're good.
Yeah. They pull. I'm pulling the safety off.
Safety's off.
You better work on your form.
I got 3 bullets in here.
One's for your head. One's for your junk. One's for your kneecap. You choose which goes first. Now lunge.
Got me, doctor.
Gut them.
Got
them. Renee goes, and then I want, see right there? I want a waist. As you know, I'm very high-waisted.
And at one point, Dr. Clapper looks genuinely concerned.
He's scared.
Well, she has surgery addiction.
She goes, and you thought this was going to be easy.
You thought this was going to be an easy day, didn't you, Dr. Clapper?
She goes, see all this fat? I want it taken out of here and put into my ass.
And he goes, okay, Renee, I can't
do all of these things.
Literally cannot do all of these things to you.
She wants
it all done at once.
She wants a yes man surgeon that will risk her life. You can die. He basically says, the more procedures you have, the more complications and risks arise.
Yeah.
You kind of have to choose one and then decide, that's the thing you're going to do.
He's But she will not have it.
She wants like a full body
reconstruction.
And also BBL surgery, like Brazilian butt lift, yeah, is randomly like the most dangerous plastic surgery you can possibly get.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I was shook by that. Renee is literally would die.
Renee will like fly to like some other...
She would go like out of the country.
Yeah, she'll go to like Russia to
get... Don't do it, Renee.
Yeah. Do it. Got I love me.
He's also like, you basically need to temper your expectations and like you need to try and lose some weight so you can come back and then we can get close to your desired result.
Yeah, she, which is like, you know, it's annoying to go on a diet. It's annoying to exercise. I understand it's not easy for everyone to like, I've struggled with like body stuff too. And like, you know, but like,
it takes a lot of like discipline.
It's a discipline. You can't
like,
just go in and be like,
no,
and take it all off.
That's also such a myth, I think, that gets perpetuated of like,
you can do
you can just get surgery and fix everything. Like, even I thought like, oh, Renee's just gonna get like a full bod makeover. Like, remember when Heidi Montag got like 10 procedures at once?
She got like the Guinness book.
Like, that was maybe
that was
like not ethical. Also, like, I guess if you're a young person, maybe you have less risk factors for that kind of surgery, but that also seems like
that was scary.
That was really scary. Whatever doctor said yes to that should be
That was a terrifying
lose
moment.
His medical license.
She was so pretty before, and like I mean she's still beautiful, but I was just like, who is that person?
Dr. Klappa is Dr. a good Klappa. He's a good doctor.
But also Renee smokes. Like she's not She drinks a lot.
She's not a beacon of health and wellness, let's just say.
But as Carla said, my heart goes out to you.
My heart goes out to you. Renee is pissed.
Renee then, at one point I just wrote, Renee goes, Renee gets what she wants.
I was like, okay, you're going to die.
You're going to die, hon.
What about AJ?
Yeah, what about...
Do you want to leave AJ motherless? So you could gut your tits?
Got him.
Got him. I want them gutted and implants put in. But I do love her vision. Like, I've definitely been like, can someone suck all the fat? But I would want them put into my tits.
Yeah. No,
like,
I mean,
suck all my fat out and then give me big jugs. Give me just big naturals. Oh, hey, gentlemen.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah. Ooh, didn't see you there.
Ooh, didn't see you there over my big boobs.
My jugs got in the way.
My jug. They say I can't drive with my jugs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I'm like, don't honk me. Ooh.
Oh, ooh. Sorry. I didn't mean to honk. That was my breast.
Work, work.
Yeah. Just to point out one thing, I never know what time of year it is on the show.
No. Because
in some shots, there's snow on the ground, and then other shots, it's like...
They're at the beach.
It's like May.
Yeah.
Renee's always in winter, though.
She's ever winter. Renee... Evermore, ever winter.
Yeah.
It's one long winter.
Renee lives in, like, a Narnia-esque Staten Island where it's always winter. It's always January.
Mm-hmm.
Dead of January.
It's like you cross one street, and it goes from, like, sunny springtime to, like...
Winter.
Just gray, like... snow and salt on the ground.
Yeah, muddy snowbanks.
Yeah.
Drita's on the phone with her cousin, and she goes, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm taking the trash out. And her cousin goes, heh heh. And then she goes outside, and there's like a raccoon ransacked.
She goes, them raccoons! They're back again! They're eating clams!
She goes, raccoons! She goes, raccoons is scumbags!
They're scumbags!
Is scumbags.
They're like a gang.
They're like a gang. They roll deep.
They're eating clams.
They've eaten clams. So she's had a recurring issue with a family of raccoons returns to her home every night.
This storyline is A+ for me.
Yeah.
Like, it truly, the subplot of like Drita versus the raccoons is inspired.
Amazing. She goes, what do I do to her cousin? And her cousin goes, I was going to say you should get a BB gun.
She goes, I'm going to shoot him with a BB gun.
I'm going to shoot him with a paintball.
They're eating clams. Them raccoons, they're scumbags.
Just imagining a...
They're like, yum.
Yum, with a little like vinegar.
They made a real mess.
Yeah, they did.
It was like, whoa.
I mean, raccoons, have you seen them?
Yeah, I love raccoons. I mean, I grew up in Oklahoma City. We battled raccoons all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was always raccoon drama happening.
Is Oklahoma City known for its raccoon problem?
I just think it's like they're more, it's like the suburbs. Mm-hmm. I feel like you get a lot of like raccoons in the suburb kind
they're
of
bold.
Energy. They're really bold.
Yeah.
They're little trash bears. They're so cute.
They're actually really cute.
I love people that have raccoons illegally as pets.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're like not allowed to have them as pets, but there are whole communities that like they have their pet raccoons.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they
and they
nice?
Like domesticate them. Yeah. I mean, if they don't get raped, if they're not rabid, they're great.
They're really cute.
They're so cute. I love their little hands and their fingies.
And their eyes.
Yeah.
Their little...
And they like stand up. They're so expressive.
And there are families.
Mm-hmm.
Let them. Yeah.
I've always loved raccoons.
Raccoons is scumbags.
They're scumbags. They're eating clams. I'm going to shoot them with a BB gun.
I'm going to shoot them. Karen meets with her writing coach.
Carmella.
And I just go, Karen is never going to write.
No. Karen literally triggers me so much because she is me in the book writing struggle. Though I think we've actually probably written the exact same amount. But Karen's book is announced and Carmella comes over.
Didn't she like plagiarize her dad's book too?
Yeah, I think like we read a lot of the Amazon reviews where they're like, we heard all these stories in her dad's book.
It was like the night before she crunched.
She frantically like turned it in. That was me in like middle school going on like whatever.
Cliff's Notes.
Not Cliff's Notes, but encyclopedia.com and then just looking up something and rephrasing whatever they said.
So stupid, getting away with it.
Well, I didn't like plagiarize the whole bit, but it would be like the Egyptians like built the pyramids, and I'd be like, the pyramids were built by the Egyptians in blah blah blah. Like just truly, it was like a creative interpretation.
It was. That's a skill.
Yeah, I've never plagiarized in my fucking life.
Me neither.
Karen goes, my book was announced. Did you see it? And Carmilla goes, Yes,
I did.
Carmilla hates her.
She does. And Karen's like complaining about being attacked by the papers again. She goes, you know, some of these people attacking me are families of the victims of my father. And I understand their issues because a lot of them like don't have their dads anymore.
Because, I love like, I understand their issues.
Yeah.
What their parents were murdered by your mafioso father. That's like more than an issue.
But she's shocked that people are blaming her for his. It's like, well, that's what happens. Everyone associated, if you're a family member of someone that does something horrific like this, you're gonna get shit regardless.
It's a complicated situation. I see her side of being like, I'm not responsible for his decisions.
But she's writing a book kind of.
Yeah. But I also see the families of the victim sides who are like, fuck you. Why are you making money and getting famous off of this?
Yeah. I mean, and the writer, the writing coach is like in a sort of.
She's like, leave me the fuck out of it and like write your book.
Well, she's like a little exasperated. She's like, I mean, Karen, you knew this was going to happen. Right? Like,
yeah.
She couldn't have not known this was going to happen.
Do you think everyone was going to be like, amazing?
Oh, wait. She goes, I was a child.
I'll defend him forever.
I'll defend him to the day I'm in the ground. Like, she's like, I'll take it to the grave. Like, she's right. Like, he's still, I want them to understand he's still my father. It's like, okay, but he's a serial killer.
I'm like, then pick up your laptop.
And write.
Pull it up and start writing.
Start writing.
Dumb bitch.
She's like Carol Radziwill writing that article.
Mm-hmm. Again, just me. I'm so triggered by Karen's writing.
Mm-hmm.
Drita and Aaliyah are just having a mother-daughter beauty night when
Drita's painting her daughter's nails and
talking about Lee
and the daughter Aaliyah kind of like asks her to explain why he's in jail again. And Drita goes, well, she goes, one of dad's best friends was a rat. And she goes, what's a rat? And then Drita goes,
she gets the schooling of a lifetime. And if you've ever had a parent that's gotten in legal trouble, there always comes a time when usually your mom will tell you the whole history about it. And it's always going to be like a very formative experience.
Did you go through this?
Yeah, I went through a version of this. But it was not like...
Yeah, not like this.
It was not like this. There was no like blaming of a rat. Yeah, yeah. But it's like, you're just going to have to learn eventually about like your parents' like criminal behavior. And I love Drita being like, well, imagine you was at school with your friends and y'all did something. And then you got called into the principal's office. And they said, if one of you tells me what these others did, you won't get in trouble. That's a rat. And I was like, okay.
And then her daughter goes, well, I would rather daddy stay in jail than be a rat. And I was like,
it was like, beat back up.
And Drita went, wow.
Whoa.
She went, very loyal. But I could tell she was a little freaked out by it.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the takeaway that anyone was looking for. But also when you phrase things, like, it's like,
yeah,
he went to jail because he robbed a bank. He didn't go to jail because someone told on him.
Yeah,
like, he might have robbed a bank and then someone told on him, but he still robbed the bank, you know what I mean? So like, to phrase it in a way that it's like the only bad thing that happened is that
he got
caught and someone told on him.
Yeah, don't I think it surprised even her when
very loyal.
Well, because she says things like, well, so many families were destroyed because of this rat. Like, you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, she kind of is making it so negative. And then I think when her daughter has this reaction, it kind of takes her aback a little. And then I don't think she realizes in this moment, like, oh, perhaps the spin I've been putting on it led to this. Like, there's a cause and effect.
Yeah. But her rat obsession gone a little too far.
I would rather daddy stay in jail than be a rat.
Whoa.
She goes,
very loyal.
Got a lot of your father in you. I was like,
I think she's also a little proud though.
Oh, she's totally proud. But it's like, she doesn't say that, like what you just said. Like, she's not bringing it home to her daughter that her dad is a criminal.
Yeah.
She's like a rat.
Like, he did this and that was illegal.
Yeah, like the worst, not robbing a bank, not perhaps killing people, but being a rat is the real indictment. So it's like...
And like, I don't believe in ratting or snitching, but at the same time, that's not the worst thing you can do.
That's like me to my non-existent child when I explain about snitch tagging.
Yeah, and tattletale Twitter.
Tattletale Twitter? Snitch tagging is when tweets at Polly Perrette, when you tweet a photo, reaction photo of her looking very strange in NCIS, and then someone tweets at her, and then you find out that Polly Perrette blocked you.
Oh.
Which is what happened to me this week.
Oh my God.
I get snitch tagged all the time.
A rat.
You're a rat.
You're a rat.
And I always call them out.
Yeah,
I go,
good.
Snitch. I go, don't snitch.
Snitches get stitches. That's what you should say next time.
And they always go, whatever. It's like, shut up.
Okay.
If I wanted, you know, Polly Perrette to know that I was using a photo of her,
I would have DM'd her.
I would have been like, can I use this photo?
Permission granted.
Also, she's like weird and like likes cops, so.
I mean, I have no skin in the game. I'm Team Carrie, just to clarify. When it comes to Carrie O'Donnell or Polly Perrette, I'm firmly Team Carrie O'Donnell.
But I know that you're anti-snitch tagging.
I'm anti-snitch, but you know what? I was a rat in high school. I had to rat once. I had to rat at boarding school. I got told I either have to, my diary got confiscated and then there was like a cop-out list, which is what we had to, like, we always had to like cop out for stuff that we did that was dirty, in quotes. This is like the terminology from my school. And they read this like long cop-out list that I'd written on like a solo trek that was never meant for anyone, just for my own like good feelings. And then they said, if you don't write this down and snitch on everyone that you've said in your diary, we're going to kick you out. And I was 6 weeks, graduating in 6 weeks. And I was like, I can't. So I then had to rat, but I went up to everyone that I ratted on and was like, guess what? I'm going to cop out for you for doing this. So just know that. But this is all I'm saying.
What'd they say?
They were like, okay. I mean, it was like a shitty, there's nothing I could do. Was I going to get kicked out and then be like not graduated from high school?
They read your journal?
Yeah.
That's like...
Nothing was sacred, babe.
That's
Who's
cool.
Who's the rat?
Who's the rat?
Who's the rat? It's me.
You. I think I don't think I ratted. I think I got tattletailed on a few times. But I don't think I ever did that. I was always just like... afraid. Karen and... So that's disturbing. And then we cut to Karen and Renee again at a restaurant. Renee has like wearing like a very innocent looking outfit. She has a headband on.
Mm-hmm. She's really channeling Charlotte from Sex and the City.
Yeah, she's in her like, I believe in love. Mm-hmm. I believe in a thing called love. Remember? I believe in a thing called love.
We'll never just forget.
Just the rhythm of the heart.
I actually, that song was good.
It was great. That was like their one hit though.
I know. It was all downhill.
It was all downhill. Karen brings just a bunch of papers with her. A bunch of newspapers. And she goes, did you see the papers? And then Renee goes, yeah, yeah, what's in it? And then they start just reading like old men in the park playing chess. Just start reading newspapers.
I'm obsessed with the beginning of dinner. Renee's like, oh my God. Like, what are they eating? Like nuts or something? And she's like, oh my God. Like, I don't want them to swell more than they already are. And then Karen's like, what? And she's like, I got my lips done.
Yeah, Renee has, she's rocking some like pillow lips.
Her lips didn't even look that done to me. Just got them done.
Dear God.
And then I was like, that's what you say when you're like, you're pretending, you're feigning bashfulness, but you're mm-hmm. actually really excited. That's like how I was when I got lip injection.
Is she allergic to nuts?
I don't know. She's just looking for any excuse to point out her like newly done lip.
What if she's literally allergic to nuts and she has like a swelling, like horrific
reaction?
She's like,
they never looked better.
They've never looked better.
Karen's like, I really don't think you should keep getting work done. I think you should just stop. And then Renee goes, Karen doesn't think I should get any more work done, but guess what? I'm getting my ass done. I love Renee's commitment to destroying her own life.
Yeah. Got my ass.
Fill it back up.
She's like using like, yeah, like gay grinder lingo.
I want him gutted.
Got my hole.
I love, but guess what? I'm getting my ass done.
Stoned.
Hashtag stoned. Someone did the research on stoned, and I think it is a cannabis / pizza plate parlor.
Oh.
So it's like cannabis infused pizza.
Oh, that's cool.
We need to go to Staten Island.
This picture.
I'll eat a cannabis pizza. You can eat a regular pizza. And then we'll take a photo. We'll facetune the shit out of our bodies.
Her
and
face.
Hashtag stone.
Her face tuning is like, it's honestly.
It's art.
It's aspirational. And I'm just proud of her every time she does it. Because in some of them, it looks like her face is in the sun and her body's in night.
When her body was completely carved, like it looked like she just took like a circle stamp and just like erased part of her body.
I love it.
It is like, it's avant-garde.
It is.
And
I'm not shaming her. I love it.
She recently posted like a completely unfacetuned photo.
She looked great.
And she looked, yeah, impeccable.
She's beautiful.
I love her. I wish her nothing but more.
We love you,
posts.
Renee.
We love you, Renee. Hashtag stoned.
Come on our show. I reach out to you.
Okay, yeah. Renee, get back to Carrie.
Carrie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Renee's looking at the press about Karen's book and she goes, why do they always have to say our ages? I was like,
Renee also
rude.
Was like,
she's right.
I know that is rude. It's a classic thing that women have to deal with. But when she, again, there is in the plastic surgeon's office, she goes, it's a lot when you turn 41, you just gotta. And I was like, again, is she 41?
I know.
I was like,
I'd like to know.
She's literally claiming I mean, she may be.
She might be.
She might be.
She look, may be.
She may be. She's got balls. But
I mean, I would say like Karen's 41.
I'm just saying Renee in this season of Mob Wives is 4 years older than me right now. I'm just saying. But maybe I look young for my age.
You do. You have the Cali vibe.
I don't care. I'm getting my ass done.
I will say, as someone from the Northeast and who lived there for,
it harrows you.
It does harrow you.
It ages you in ways you can't even comprehend. It does. You're just beaten. You're brow beaten by the cold.
You're just windburned.
You're windburned, and it's just like a constant icicle. You're dried out, wrung out like a rag.
You're always in. I aged like 8 years during the polar vortexes.
I believe that actually.
I heard one come in once. I literally heard the vortex coming.
What did it sound like?
You just heard the wind pick up outside, and you heard,
she's starting.
Because all the telephone wires between the apartments. Mm-hmm. And I went, she's coming. Dyatlov. Dyatlov.
Dyatlov path. Pray for Dyatlov.
Pray for the Dyatlov path.
Karen's like reading all the shit that they're saying about her in the newspaper, and Renee goes, that's not nice. Supportive queen. Then Renee goes, well, you know what they say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But the car I fucking hit you with could. And I was like, okay, Renee, but it seems that words do hurt you quite a bit.
But she also, the way she says it, Karen's, you see Karen for a second, and she's sort of mouthing along with her, and then she goes, but words can never hurt me. It's like, yeah, that's a very common saying.
You're all really hurt by words.
No, but
like you brawled with words.
But it's like they acted like it was like this rare saying. I'm like,
you say it.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like,
you I learned know what that. They say.
It's like Mother Goose.
That's like, we learned that in second grade and never forgot it.
Yeah. No, that's like kindergarten.
Teach their own.
Maybe in Jersey, but out in Oklahoma.
Out in Oklahoma, we do things a little differently.
We do things a little differently.
Sticks and stones and words hurt a lot bones. Until you're about 8 years old. Drita calls Lee and they laugh and laugh about the raccoons.
Wait, okay, so someone says, I look like I got hit by a Mack truck. I've been seeing Mack truck. Or no, was it Mob Wives or Last Night of Potomac? People keep saying Mack truck. And I just have to, this is a brief detour.
Yeah, I'm on the literal edge of my seat.
Well, Pete Buttigieg had twins, mm-hmm. and he posted like a photo from the hospital with him and his
husband. Oh my God, yeah, and woman's Mack truck vagina.
But the people were at like so many weird, like veiled homophobic comments being like, well, I didn't get to do this. Or like, wow, like you look... must be nice to look good after like not having a kid. And it's like, they're fucking men. Like they didn't give birth.
Yeah.
A woman gave birth. It's their kid. But like that's, but this one woman was like, went into like graphic detail about her birth and then said, I look like I got hit by a Mack truck. And I feel like I keep hearing Mack truck now.
Mack trucks are trending.
What is a Mack truck?
Isn't that just like a big old truck? Oh. Isn't that just like a, like a truck driver's truck?
Like a tractor trailer?
Is that...
Or like a
semi.
Oh.
Like a... like the trucks that have their own lane on the highway.
The trucks that have like those little like sleeping cabins.
Yeah. Like they pull over at like a truck stop. Like the kind of trucks that are at truck stops.
Okay.
Like a 18-wheeler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Joyride.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Just that was just a brief...
I could not believe...
that comment.
I had like my two closest girlfriends have like very recently given birth. So I'm like just in the know about birth and stuff. And it is just an intense journey. I love like women being furious at the gays. I know. War. Let's go to war. I'll play both sides.
Get out.
I'm like, get them.
Get them.
Sick them. And then I'm like, these bitches, but they don't know what they're talking about.
But I just love that, like, wow, must be nice. It's like, well,
I get like why a woman would be like extremely bitter.
Yeah, but women, also it's but like women have photo shoots in hospital. Like my sister had a little photo shoot in hospital with her baby.
I know, but some like, women are harrowed
I
and they're
get it.
Ripped the fuck
we
apart.
We will never know. Men will never know the experience of giving birth. I get it, but like, it's like,
don't get mad. I mean,
just let them have their. I'm not even a Pete Buttigieg fan, but I was like, come on, you guys are just like being homophobic. That's what it was.
Yeah,
like you can't, like, they're just, they're like, why are they on the hospital bed? And it's like, because
they hired a surrogate, paid her $100,000, babe. Ripped that baby out of her arms and said, take the fucking picture.
Two babies.
We look fucking flawless.
And then named her Penelope and named the other one like Finn.
Yeah.
Which is like good for them.
And they said, get out of here. Go cash your check to that surrogate.
But like that surrogate was like, she knew what she was signing up for. I'm just like, it was so weird and clearly like.
This is called. Tony's like,
anyway,
oh,
I think someone on this episode said Mack truck too.
Mack trucks are
they're in the lexicon.
They're energetically all around us. They're hitting us. They're destroying our lives.
I love that. I'll play both sides.
In the gays versus women war. I'm like, those bitches don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then be like,
get those queens out of here.
Those entitled queens just having babies.
Yeah.
Can you believe?
Like they are having children.
I'm like happily childless with a dog. I'm zero skin in the game. Just revving everyone's engines.
Yeah. You little fire starter.
I'm like, let's do brunch this weekend, girl.
Yeah.
Tell me about it at brunch. Tell me about it at
you
brunch.
You pick up the tab.
How your vag took a hit.
You're going to pay for it.
Yeah, you pay.
Drita. Joe calls Drita. And Drita's like, I'm going to go to war with the raccoons, Joe, they're back. And then Joe, there's like a beat for a minute, and he clearly doesn't know what she's talking about. But she acts like he remembers, and he goes, yeah, yeah. And he goes, she goes, I'm going to shoot him with a paintball. And he goes, good girl.
Then they talk more about the rat. They have more rat discourse.
Drita's a little, she's like, you know, do you know what your daughter said to me? Hand to God. She goes, what did she say? It was like,
I'd rather my father. Drita really expanded on it and like said something even more intense than Aaliyah actually said. She was like, I'd rather my father spend another 6 years in prison than be a rat.
Because she's trying to get him to go, not 6 years, it's 4 years.
Four, yeah.
but she says like, what she's, okay, she acknowledges that it's dysfunctional.
Again, let's all agree that you committed a crime.
No, but she says something that she was like, she says she was, it terrified her to hear her daughter say that.
Yeah. She's like, and she's 9 or whatever.
She's like, scariest thing I've ever heard or something.
Like a child should not be talking about like loyalty, a mob wife.
About
yeah.
loyalty.
Very loyal.
But again, I think, as we said last week, I think Dorita's actually a great mom. But I think she's, with certain things, she's limited. And I don't think she understands her actions are speaking louder than her words.
Yeah. I think all these women are really doing the best that they can given the circumstances that they've found themselves in.
Completely.
And I'm glad that they're willing to like just bleed out.
Well, I'm glad that they're willing to unpack it a little and be like, and consider that maybe this isn't the right thing. But I think Drita's struggling because she's been conditioned to think this way, but she's also doesn't want her daughters to have this life, I don't think.
And also, I think that focusing on like who's the rat and like snitches get stitches and all that really takes away. It's like it disempowers people from talking about the major problem, which is like we live in a lifestyle where everyone in our lives are doing like illegal things and going to jail and like families are ruined. And like if you, it creates like silence and like secrets around all of that and just perpetuates the cycle, the endless cycle of incarceration and like crime.
You're only sick as your secrets.
Amen.
Junior's back at Renee's.
Junior Pagan. He's
Junior
not
Pagans.
Feeling good. I want some chicken soup.
I look good. I bet Renee makes good
I know.
Soup.
Like she puts veggies in it.
I just want to like, be, I want it to be like a cold, rainy Saturday and just be like, Renee has like a giant thing of chicken soup on the stove in her like pretty spacious Staten Island McMansion. And just, I'll be like curled up on one of her giant couches.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, soup's almost up. Soup's almost up, she says. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Renee.
I know.
I'll come get mine soon.
At her kitchen island.
And hearing the cold rain outside. And just smelling the soup and have a little blanket on. And you're watching, like, the Kardashians. And she's smoking.
I would love to smoke a cig with Renee at her kitchen island while sipping a Diet Coke, having her talk to me all about her junior problems, then make the most delicious chicken noodly soup with fresh veggies. And then we just like turn on the TV, light the fire in the fireplace and snuggle up, smoke cigs, drink Diet Coke and just laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah. And she's like, it's a mix of, she's like, it's kind of chicken soup meets minestrone.
Oh, and also we have to light like a million scented candles.
Oh yeah. Cause I don't want to smell like,
I mean, I will, we will smell like smoke, but I also want to smell like candles.
I want to smell like yummy, like cayenne and tobacco and like things like that mixed into the candles.
I mean, I grew up in smoker households, like
really
smoking inside, I think until like my freshman year of high school.
Who smoked?
My dad.
Oh, really?
And my stepmom. It was a smoke and I'm remembering now. I was like, I
which
lived
stepmom?
My first.
What was her name again?
Angie.
My queen, Angie.
My queen. And yeah, I just remember smoking. So I actually love smoking inside.
Yeah, my late aunt smoked inside, and her house always smelled like, it smelled good, but it was like tinged with
cigs.
Oh,
it's always gonna be.
But it was like, it kind of smelled good.
I loved
it. Super clean.
Well, it was also like when I would like, when I got into like smoking as a youngster and like stealing cigarettes and like smoking them, it was like, you can't get in trouble because no one will ever smell what you're smoking. Because the whole house smells like smoke.
Smart. The inner workings of Laura Marie. So Junia and AJ sitting at the kitchen island, and Renee's says that AJ's like a little wary of their.
He doesn't like seeing, she says straight up, he does not like seeing them together.
Yeah, because his dad's probably not right, like doesn't treat his mom right.
No. And also their relationship is volatile. Also, did you notice that Junior has a huge scar on his face?
Yeah.
He's literally Gamora.
He's a rat.
He has a scar, like a huge vertical scar going down across his face.
Oh, I thought that was like a tattoo.
I think that's a scar.
Damn.
I think he got like slashed.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of like
face
tattoo.
I don't think like,
well, you never know.
I don't think like Italian men get like face tats.
Oh, maybe I was like, maybe he got this in prison one time.
I think, I mean, everyone knows I'm coming off my Gamora thing, but yeah. the main character, Gennaro Savastrano, has, after season one, has like a big scar from getting shot in the face.
Or maybe it was like a punishment. Like he had to get, like, it's a reminder to you who you're subservient to.
I've never seen that. I feel like he got slashed.
Miss Mob over here.
Sorry.
I've
never seen him.
I've never seen that.
I'm doing a lot of mob stuff recently, and I've never seen a face tattoo.
His dad,
unlike Italian Americans.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Pagan.
What happened? Who can weigh in? Yeah. Did Junior get slashed? What's the scar from?
For being a rat.
For being a fucking rat.
He asked AJ, like, what's his plan? And he's like, gonna be hanging out with a girl. And he's like, same girl from the other night? And he's like, different one.
And goes, he's too young to have a girlfriend.
I was like, I wrote, can you imagine her being your mother-in-law?
Nunca.
As a woman?
Mm-mm.
That would be hard.
But she has a daughter-in-law. Well, now she loves. Does. But she also is kind of shady to her.
Yeah.
I love it. This is, again, the Magnolia/Boogie Night soundtrack comes back in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is chef's kiss.
It is. Carla and Drita team up that evening. They
fucking havoc on the raccoons.
They get locked and loaded with their paintball guns and head out to the night sky, into the eve.
Drita is loaded up with a paintball gun that looks like an Uzi.
And she's ready to shoot.
And Carla has a flashlight.
And they sneak around to the side, and the raccoons are. And they're like making this noise where I'm like, oh my god, it's a literal garbage goblin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
I love that you see like one like leg. Like the raccoon comedy, physical comedy in this scene. Also, I was like, don't shoot them with a paintball gun. Like, you will kill an animal with that.
No, but also just raccoon comedy in general is always so good.
It's great. It's A+.
When they just poke their heads up from like a gutter.
They're so expressive.
They are.
Human.
They're like
we
little
just see
people.
The paw being like, ah!
Yeah.
And then they just, Drita and Carla sit on the porch and just have a reflective chat. Mm-hmm. And Drita goes, I don't understand why single mothers aren't allowed to have guns. And I was like, they are allowed.
They are.
Honey.
What America are you living in?
I don't know.
Like a kid can have a gun.
Literally anyone can have a gun if you try hard enough. Yeah. You can have a little pistol.
Yeah. My niece who's 1.5 can have a gun. Or yeah, one in a few months.
When did she... I feel like this is like another thing of her being like, God, women aren't allowed to have guns. <She's>, they are.
I think she's been like, again, this is like the conditioning. Their brains are just
like, it's like she said to Lee, like, I want a gun. He was like, girls aren't allowed to have guns.
Yeah.
And
you're
then
not allowed
she
to
just
have a gun.
Never questioned that and just believed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so weird.
Renee calls Nicole.
Yeah.
And tells her the bad news, which is that she and Junior slept in the same bed and then looked at their wedding album together.
That's
too intimate.
It's so intimate.
She goes, I'm loving him again.
He's clearly just trying to like...
This is an easy thing for him to do.
Yeah.
Like he's going to prison. So all of this like intimacy has like a hard expiration date where he like... doesn't have to commit and can just be there, get his dick wet, and then go, and he never has to deal with Renee again.
And he's kind of like unfortunately is like buttering up with what he knows she'll go crazy for, which is like looking at their like huge, probably like frilly wedding album from like Francesca's banquet hall in like Staten Island in 1989 or something.
It's sad. Yeah, Renee it's sad. Is falling for this shit. Girl, enough is enough. Carla takes the kids to the beach.
Yeah, she has kind of like a Jackie moment, like at the end when Natalie
this
Portman's
is her Jackie moment.
Like playing with John and Caroline on the beach, and Natalie Portman's like in this, you know what I mean?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
this is not as picturesque. There's like a trash bucket floating nearby.
I mean, there's like landfills on Staten Island, so it's like,
yeah, I'm sure it's also like there's big loading docks, so it's just ships pouring out their like ship juice into the ocean.
You see like a mob hit, like
there's like a bloated dead body just like brushing up against the shore. There literally was a white bucket, like a trash, like a litter garbage bucket just floating next to one of her kids.
It wasn't like Hyannis. It was.
No.
It was.
Staten.
But she's like, her kids are really excited. She still hasn't explained to them that he's in jail.
So her thing, her like, strategy is that she's going to make him tell them where he was when he comes out, which I'm also like, that doesn't necessarily, I'm glad that they'll eventually know the truth, but that also does not necessarily feel like the right approach.
It's not the right approach, but you know what? She's been through enough. She's had to deal with these kids.
They're
all
doing
by
their
her own.
Best.
She's like, you fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
Like he's on, she's kind of putting him, holding his feet to the fire.
Good. Yeah. He deserves to have to be the one.
But it's cute. Her son's
like, wish that they had done this 6 years ago.
She's like, oh, he's going to come out and give you hugs and kisses. And her son goes, yeah.
He's so happy that his dad's going to be back.
Joe Jr.
From working remote. From Antarctica or wherever.
From Zooming. Yeah. From Zooming in Antarctica.
The girls all get together to have brunch. And Renee toasts to everyone. She goes, we're the most loving bunch of women I've ever met. And I was like, really? Like,
but a week ago, you were trying to strangle Carla on the floor of
your
kitchen.
And then Renee goes, you're the only bunch of women I've ever met. And she was like, I love it. Renee's like, God, nothing like my loving group of female friends.
Renee then drops the bomb that Junior moved in, and they all like immediately.
They are done with her ass.
They're like, bitch, come on.
Renee is also so predictable of like being like, I love to the most loving group of women I've ever met.
Yeah.
Like trying so hard to manipulate them. So they're like, aw. And yeah. then she's like, well, I'm letting you move back in, hoping that they'll like ride their high off of her calling them yeah. loving, and they'll just like overlook the fact that she's letting Junior, like,
yeah.
Renee.
Yeah. Carla goes,
you're messy.
Carla goes, is Junior homeless? Like, why is he living with you? And she goes,
no, he's not homeless. He's just, we just want to be a family again before he goes back in.
I'll bet that his girlfriend kicked him out.
Yeah, she was like, you're fucking your ex-wife.
Well, I'll bet that as soon as he got arrested, she kicked him out.
Yeah, she was, she
and was
boundaries.
Like, you can't stay here no more. And then he was like, Renee, I've been craving you.
I've been craving you, and I want to look at
your hot bod.
I want to look at the wedding photos with you.
And she's like, oh, get in here.
Let's eat some.
She's like, I got to do it for AJ.
Yeah.
I'm doing this to AJ. Get I was like, bitch, cookies. AJ does not yeah, want AJ, you guys together.
AJ wants to graduate high school and get the fuck out so he can commit alleged
fraud
and an employment fraud. She goes, well, let me explain something to you. She goes, so the other night, Junior comes in. He goes out to the store and he comes back with pumpkin seeds. And he goes, and if you know me, you know that's my favorite thing. So basically, and they're all like, wait.
She was, he was kind of tipsy, but he came back and he said, I know you like these, and gave me some pumpkin seeds. And I
was like, that
was crying.
The bar is non-existent.
Renee will do anything for the bare minimum. Pumpkin seeds at a gas station cost like $1.69.
So he thought about, you know, they're my favorite. So that means he put some thought into it.
Yeah, he got shit-faced with his friends. Then he went to go probably get a pack of cigs. Then saw some pumpkin seeds and thought, wow, I should get these for my wife. She might like these because she's letting me stay here. Yeah. And like, this will shut her up.
I just wrote poor Renee. I know.
You've got to really get like a better... You got to do better than pumpkin seeds.
Yeah.
A lot better.
A lot better. Maybe just don't put your family through this anymore.
Yeah. Or like jewelry.
Yeah, get her
I'm like, just steal something if you have to. Like, I don't want gas station pumpkin seeds.
Yeah,
wait, those don't move the meter for me.
Yeah, go on over to K Jewelers and get her a giant,
get me like cubic zirconia or like, I truly,
yeah,
if you bring me pumpkin seeds.
But Renee's sentimental like that.
She loves it.
She thinks, she sees that as a sign that he's endlessly in love with her, which I don't think he is.
No, I think that he doesn't have a place to stay. He's like in a fight with his girlfriend, and Renee probably was like, you can stay here.
Yeah.
And then slowly this is a cycle that they go through over and over and over.
And the other women are just, they've had enough. They're all like kind of just like hands in the air.
Karen's like, if you could keep a wall up with Junior, I'd say that's okay. But we all know you can't keep a wall up.
And she's like, no.
No.
Yes, I can.
She goes, well, he's been around. And they're like, oh, so he's already just been living yeah. at your house. You're not even telling the actual truth.
She kind of presented it like he might be moving
I'm
in. I'm going to
let
him stay with me. But she goes, well, he sleeps downstairs. And they're all like, Drita just goes, well, so okay. Yeah. There's no point in this conversation.
And she goes, why can't we just be in love? Why can't we just be in love? And Drita goes, get over it. You got to get over it.
And then Drita takes a knife out and goes, I just want to go like this to him.
She goes, stab him in the hand. You're done. Over it. Get over it.
And then she goes,
Drita is truly like a cobra. Like, she would get over it.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, I think that they all have been through this exact same thing.
They get up, but they're annoyed.
Yeah, because this is like the 48th time.
And then Renee, of course,
loses it
and gets up and heads on to like the ladies' room.
Was there like a online gaming or poker device in that bathroom?
Yeah, I was very curious of this whole setup of this place. It seemed,
it looked like there was like one of those like you Yahtzee. Pay to play like a yeah. poker, like match the nude photos or something.
Yeah.
And Renee was sad, but she was also maybe engaging in a little online poker.
She was like,
oh,
$4.
Oh, I got a royal flush.
Nice.
Oh. She's sad in the bathroom. I feel for her.
I
She's
do.
In love with him, but the worst thing you can do in this situation and the way to ensure that you will never get over this person is to keep letting them back in these little ways.
Yeah.
And you get so excited and like revved up about it, but like it's also so damaging because it's not like he's moving back in, you're gonna reconcile.
No, he's going to jail.
He's literally going to jail.
And then it'll leave off with this heightened kind of emotion. Mm-hmm. So anyway, guys, weigh in on rats. Have you ever ratted?
Yeah, have you ever ratted?
Let us know.
Send us bonus info.
I'm trying to think if I've ratted. I'll come back with the answer. Maybe I probably ratted a few times. But not like... I'll think about it.
Criminally, I've never ratted.
I've never ratted.
When I was a wild child getting arrested for drugs back in my youth, I never ratted on nobody.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I was a firm no rat.
Angie taught you.
Yeah, I was taught well. I actually like would take the fall. I think I took the fall for people. I think I got ratted on. Damn it.
Damn.
Who's the rat?
Let's unpack that.
Okay, we'll unpack it on the bonus episode.
Okay.
You can listen to that at patreon.com/sexuniquepodcast. There's bonus apps out every weekend.
Follow Lara at Lars Marie.
Follow Carrie at eCario. Follow me on Poshmark, honestly.
Follow us on TikTok.
Follow us on TikTok at SexUniquePod.
Be safe.
Love and light. Bye.